Is the Lord's Day sanctified by man's work or man's rest? I've written an article for the latest issues, etc. journal titled Lord's Day, Lord's House, Lord's Supper. You can read it by subscribing to the online Issues, etc. journal. Just look for the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. The Wittenberg Trail feature details former Baptist minister Dennis McFadden's journey to the objectivity of the Lutheran Confession of Faith. The free Issues, etc. journal. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We hear a lot nowadays about seekers. We've been hearing about them for almost the last 20 years in the church. People who are seeking God. Now, there are places in Scripture where it makes it quite clear that while people think they seek God, they really don't. I'm thinking about the first chapters of the book of Romans. There is no one who seeks God, no one who looks for Him. Makes it quite clear that even those who think they're seeking really aren't seeking themselves rather than God. And yet we have a passage like Isaiah chapter 55 that begins in the sixth verse saying, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near." What is this? What does it mean? Joining us for our Christ in the Old Testament series on this Friday afternoon, Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer, pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico, and host of a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. Brian, welcome back.
It's great to be here, Todd.
What does it mean to seek the Lord, a la Isaiah chapter 55?
Well, the way that the Scripture gives to us this revealed knowledge of salvation is that it always uses this language that we can comprehend. I mean, these easy understanding things of seeking. I mean, we understand seeking. Seeking is something that you're searching for, you're looking for, you've set your mind upon. It's a goal. It's something that you're out after, you're setting your eyes, and you're looking around, you're trying to find something. So this whole idea of seeking is that where are you moving toward? Are you moving towards this? Is your goal over here? And so we understand that seeking. But here in particular, what we want to understand is that our fundamental seeking should be Yahweh. That's who we should seek. And all these other things that we seek out in life, we try to seek out happiness or whatever it may be, prosperity and these earthly things, these are things we may seek out. But what Yahweh constantly wants us to do is focus on Him. That He's our goal, and He's the one we are to seek. And so we understand this language of seeking, and even most clearly in kind of the child's game of hide-and-seek, this idea where one goes and hides, and then the other goes and seeks. Or you might have many who are seeking, but you know exactly what your goal is. You're trying to find that which is hidden. In fact, that's the way that Yahweh describes Himself in Isaiah 45, in which it was revealed to us that truly you are a God who hides Himself, O God of Israel, the Savior. And so He's one who hides Himself. But this understanding of hiding is not that He doesn't want to be found, and so He's not hiding so we can't find Him. But it's like this this child's game, this hide-and-go-seek, where as a heavenly father, as a parent, He hides, but He's kind of like hiding behind the curtains, and his shoes are sticking out underneath. So the toddler, the little child can say, "Oh, look, I found Dad," because He wants to be found. That's the whole point. And so we understand that He tells us to seek, but we also understand throughout Scripture that He tells us exactly where to find Him, how to find Him, and when to find Him.
Is this a call to repentance? Is this, in essence, not saying you have the ability to find God in and of yourself? Is it saying in kind of a backhanded way, you don't, let the wicked forsake his way? Seems to be the parallel that we find here.
Well, what's interesting in Isaiah is you have this passage that is spoken to the people of God, because this is a call to repentance. The people of God have gone astray. They are seeking after the wrong things. They are seeking in all the wrong places, and so they're finding the wrong things. And so when you're not seeking God who is life, you're going to end up finding death. And so this is a call to repentance, and it's specifically to the people of God. You opened up the show talking about this idea of seeking. seekers. But really what's happening here in the Scripture, it's not these people outside of the people of God, people who don't have the Word of God. It's people who do have the Word of God, but now their bearings are wrong. And so the prophet is sent to them to correct them in the direction that they're seeking. They're seeking after the wrong thing, which leads to death. So it's leading up to this destruction of Jerusalem. And ironically, in Isaiah later on in 65, he does the exact opposite. It's those who are of the Gentiles, the Goyim, the ones who are in the dark, who don't know God at all, those ones aren't even seeking God, but yet he was ready to be sought by those who did not even ask for him, and he was ready to be found by those who did not even seek him. And the Apostle Paul will quote this in Romans chapter 10 as the conversion of the Gentiles. And so those who are outside of the people of God weren't even seeking him, but yet he goes out and he seeks and he finds the lost. So in this passage here in 55, this is to the people of God, because they are seeking after false gods and a false access to God, which actually doesn't bring life at all, but it brings death.
Okay, you said where, how, when. Let's start into where. This is an idea that many Christians today would find offensive, because they'd say, isn't God everywhere? And yet you say there is a specific location, always has been specific locations where God promises to be found.
Yeah, and so again, when we look at the Scripture, and we know that we are taught that God is everywhere. He's omnipresent, so he is everywhere. But the key here is, where do we seek him to find life? That's the issue. And so he wants to be found. He is a God who hides himself. But like we started off by saying, it's kind of like the game you play with the child. You go and you hide, but you stick your shoes out underneath the curtain so they can find you, and they know exactly where you're located. And so God says, seek me and live, but he doesn't leave this in the realm of the ambiguity of, well, where is that? Where's the location? But instead, he gives us a very specific location. It's the location where he promises to be present for our life, for our good and for our benefit. So yes, it's true that he's everywhere, but then he gives us a special location in which we are to seek him. And one of the most profound places in the Torah, the five books of Moses, regarding this is in Deuteronomy 12. As the people of God are going into the promised land. And so Moses has to make a clear distinction to them that you're going into the land that's promised by Yahweh, but yet in this land there will be one place where Yahweh promises to place his name, and that's the place you will seek him, at that location. But yet you're going to be tempted to try to seek him in other places, places where he never promised to be present there for your benefit. And so you see this in Deuteronomy 12, where when you go into this land, what you need to do is, number one, destroy all the places where the nations whom you shall dispose serve their Elohim. So it's all the locations of this false worship in which the pagans who do not have the Word of God, they do not have the promise, and they don't know where God's going to be found, but they make it up of their own heart and imagination that, well, we think God could be found here. And so Moses tells them, so that you don't fall into that temptation, you destroy all of those places. And therefore, you shall not worship Yahweh your God in that way. So you're not to mimic the style of your contemporaries and look to see where they try to find God. Instead, you always locate God where he promises to be located. And so in that chapter 12, it says very clear in contradistinction is that you shall seek the place that the Lord your God will choose out of all your tribes to put his name. And so this is what's key, is it's his name. And the name of God is tied to who he is and what he's done. He is Yahweh, the one who brought you out of Egypt. He's the one who redeemed you from the house of slavery. And now he, as your redeemer, will place his name on one place, and that's where you are to seek him. That's where you will have access to him. But again, in chapter 12, it goes on to say that there's going to be this temptation, that you're going to try to seek Yahweh in other places. You're not going to listen to this voice of Yahweh, and you're going to look for other means and other methods and other access points that he never promised he'd be at. So he gives, again, this clear warning at the end of the same chapter, saying when Yahweh, your God, cuts off before you the nations whom you go in to dispose, and you dispose them and dwell in their land, take care that you are not ensnared to follow them after they have been destroyed before you, and that you do not seek about their Elohim. And so this whole understanding of seeking has to do with having access to Elohim, to God. And they have a method, they have a style of access. They have a means through which they have put into place. And so God wants to be clear that when you go there, don't follow those instituted means, because I did not institute them. And so if you follow it, you're going to follow into this false worship, and you're going to follow false gods, and you're going to learn false words that I never spoke. And so you shall not worship Yahweh in the way they worship. And you shouldn't ask, well, how do they worship? Can we worship in the same way? Can we go to the same place? And so the key here is to go to the place where Yahweh himself promises that he will be present.
So this is to, number one, distinguish the true God from all the other false gods, but also to safeguard the people in their worship, that they, where he makes it an exclusive place where he is to be found in his mercy. Seeking him any place else will be tantamount to idolatry.
Yeah, and again, idolatry, we need to be clear about, is false worship. It's not merely the worship of statues. That's a mockery of the prophets, because these people have set up a location and they put a statue there as a visible marker that this is the place where the deity is located. And what the prophets will say is, all you have is just that statue, because the deity's not there. There's nothing behind it. And so the people will be tempted to go to these various places. And what's unique is that each one of these places will have an altar, because you go before the altar and you have some kind of a sacrificial system, some kind of a means to access the deity. And so you have a multitude of altars, you have a multitude of methods to access the deity. But there's only one access point, and that's the point where Yahweh himself appoints. And so it's only there where his name is placed. So he didn't place his name on any one of these other altars or any of these other temples or houses of worship, but he puts it on one place, which of course always points to us to the uniqueness and the mystery of the Holy Incarnation, that there's no other name. There's no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. That it's only in Jesus, only in this person, only in his flesh and blood do we actually gain access to the Father and the Holy Spirit.
Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest. We're doing our series with him on this Friday afternoon, Christ in the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 55, verses 6 and 7. Seek the Lord while he may be found. We've talked about where. Now we're going to talk about how, right after the break. You'll find an authoritative witness to the gospel of salvation by grace alone in the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for September, the Concordia Commentary on Galatians. It's written by Issues, Etc. regular guest, Dr. Andrew Das. The Concordia Commentary on Galatians is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or you can read an excerpt at issuesetc.org. The Concordia Commentary on Galatians, the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for September.
Whether building a new home, remodeling an existing home, or tackling the weekend project, it is important to have the materials and advice needed to get the job done. RP Lumber offers estimates for professional building materials and services for drywall, decking, siding, shingles, cabinets, and kitchen and bath design to the general contractor and the individual homeowner. Delivery available with over 50 local community locations. For 37 years, RP Lumber.
Do you have a hard time finding Christian greeting cards and gifts that aren't either sappy or theologically suspect? Ad Crucem offers the perfect combination of art and the truth of the Scriptures with beautiful and reverent greeting cards and gifts. Deliver the true comfort of the gospel, Christ crucified for sinners, to family and friends with Ad Crucem. ADCRUCEM.com. Confessing the faith through art and word. AdCrucem.com.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
We're supported by listeners like you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Grace Lutheran, Tulsa, Oklahoma. Heritage Lutheran, Valparaiso, Indiana. Mount Olive Lutheran, Duluth, Minnesota. Our Savior's Lutheran, Windham, Minnesota. St. John's Lutheran, Algoma, Wisconsin. Our Savior Lutheran, Ridgecrest, California. St. Mary's Lutheran, Des Moines, Iowa. St. John Lutheran, Yuma, Colorado. Christ Lutheran, Kansas City, Missouri. And Redeemer Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're doing our series on Christ in the Old Testament on this Friday afternoon, September the 19th. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest. He's pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico, and host of a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. A special thanks to Pastor Robert Weinkauf and the Congregation of Risen Savior Lutheran Church in Basar, Kansas, for recently renewing their membership in the Issues Etc. 300. This is our congregational support program. It's the way that congregations can individually support us and together really comprise the backbone of the support for Issues Etc. worldwide. These congregations have pledged $1,000 in their mission or advertising budget per year to support Issues Etc. Your congregation can do the same. In fact, this is a great time to ask your congregation, because right now they're probably getting together, having those meetings that involve questions like, what's going to be in our budget this coming year? You can ask to have Issues Etc. included and make your congregation part of the Issues Etc. 300. Find out more at our website, issuesetc.org. Click support and you'll find a one-page flyer that will help you go and ask them. And if your congregation is already a member of the Issues Etc. 300, kindly remind them to renew for next year. issuesetc.org, click support, look for the one-page flyer. Pastor Ketchelmeyer, we talked about where the Lord is to be sought, in an exclusive and place where a place that He Himself has promised to be, not where we choose to go looking for Him. And you connected that to the Incarnation. The next question is how He is to be sought. I imagine that goes very closely with where. Take us into it, if you would.
Yeah, it's exactly linked up to where. You can't know where unless you have the how. How do you know where it is? Well, it's the Word of God. It's God who gives His Word of institution. He sets into place, this is the place you're to seek me. This is how you are to seek me. These are the means through which I will make myself available to you, and I will grant you access to me. So that, again, when we talk about going into the promised land and you have all the pagans, you say, well, let's not try to worship like the pagans, and it's really simple not to do. But yet we see as time progresses on that later on in the division of the two kingdoms, they so easily, the people of God, fall right back into this. When Jeroboam in the northern kingdom sets up a whole variety of new places to seek out Yahweh. And so Yahweh sends a prophet. The prophet speaks the word because he's bringing him back to that word of Moses. You have the written word of Moses. Now you have the preached word in the mouth of Amos, let's say, who goes up to the north and says, speaking for God, saying, seek me and live. And do not seek Bethel, another place. Do not enter into Gilgal, an alternative place. Do not go to Beersheba and cross over. That's a different place. But instead, seek Yahweh and live. Well, where do you seek Yahweh? In Jerusalem. What Jeroboam was setting up was these counterfeit places of worship, of access to God. And so the how is always the word of God. God sends the prophets so that they know how they are to seek Yahweh. They're to seek Yahweh in the word of the mouth of the prophets. And you'll even see kind of a parenthetical note in 1 Samuel 9 where Saul is trying to seek God. And so how does Saul seek God in 1 Samuel 9? Well, the parenthetical comment tells us, well, formerly in Israel, when a man went to seek of God, he said, come, let us go to the seer, for today's prophet was formerly called a seer. And this is the idea that you seek Yahweh by going to the man of God, the prophet, who speaks the word of God. Because God comes to us in this word, and he's present among us in this word. Or you'll see this like in 1 Kings chapter 22, in which you're going to go to battle and you're going to go to war, and Jehoshaphat says, let's seek Yahweh. Well, how do you seek Yahweh? Well, you ask for a prophet to come so that you can seek the word, because God is present with his word. It's his word that comes to us to bring God for us. Again, as we said before, God is present everywhere, but we want to know where he's present for us and how he's present for us. He's present for us in the speaking of the word. And so this sending of a prophet points towards the incarnation, again, this mystery in which God the Father sends the natural Son, the eternal begotten one, who is sent by the Father in the flesh to come and bring to us the presence of God. And so you have this in the Word of God. This is the how. You have this in the written Word, and this is what Isaiah is dealing with in his day. Isaiah is sent as a prophet to preach this Word, but he also tells the people, you have the written Word. You guys are seeking again in all the wrong places. And so in Isaiah chapter 8, you have the prophet say, bind up the testimony and seal the teaching among my disciples. I will wait for Yahweh, who is hiding his face from the house of Jacob. Now, this hiding, of course, is a law moment. This is a punishment that he's hiding from them and because of their sin. And he says, and I will hope in him. That's where Isaiah is going to place his hope. And that my children, those who listen, they will also hope in Yahweh. But then what happens is the people in Isaiah's days are saying, well, let's go seek instead of the prophet, or instead of the temple, the mediums or the necromancers who chirp and mutter. And so here's one of these mockeries of the prophets who says these necromancers, they're just making these funny sounds. that's not the clear and certain word of God. That's just chirping and muttering. It's just a bunch of silly tongues. But again, the people are not seeking Yahweh. They're seeking alternative access points. They're seeking alternative words as if it was the word of Yahweh spoken to them. So it's this word that tells the people exactly where Yahweh is to be found, that he comes to them in this word. He's present with them and for them.
So how does that connect with Christ as the place where... And not only the place, but the how of seeking.
Yeah, so Christ himself, of course, is this one who is sent. He is the true prophet. And in fact, not only is he just the mouthpiece of Yahweh, per se, but he actually is the very Word of God incarnate. And so when Jesus comes on the scene, it's, come and listen to me. Incline your ears to me. This is Yahweh speaking. This is Yahweh in the flesh, so that he's the one who says, seek me. And the people are to seek the word of God in the prophet of God in the place of God, which, of course, is the incarnate word.
Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer's our guest. We're talking about Christ in the Old Testament in Isaiah 55, verses 6 and 7. So Christ is again connected to the how. What about the rejection of the how? We talked earlier about the rejection of the where. They would seek God someplace other than where he's promised to be. What about the rejection of the how?
And so this is a constant theme that you see throughout the Old Testament scriptures, is that the word of God comes to his people through the mouth of his prophets, and yet the people reject the Word. They resist the work of the Holy Spirit. And so the Word comes, and yet they don't want to listen. They want to go elsewhere. And this is what takes place most evidently in the New Testament when the Word comes to his own and his own do not know him. And so they put to death the author of life. The one that they are to seek and to live is the one they try to take his life from. And so this Word testifies to Jesus. And again, those famous and wonderful words in John chapter 5 of Jesus saying that you search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, but it's they that bear witness about me, and yet you refuse to come to me that you may live. So that this whole call of the prophets to his people is to seek Yahweh and live. And here's this Word, and yet we know what's going to take place in the Old Testament. They reject the Word. And so we know exactly what's going to take place in the New Testament. They will reject the Word, and the destruction will come upon them.
It's Friday afternoon, September the 19th. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest for another 10 minutes on the other side of the break, host of a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. You can find a link to Redeemer Theological Academy at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Stay tuned. Bethany Lutheran College is pleased to sponsor Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio. Bethany Lutheran College is located in the picturesque river town of Mankato, Minnesota, and is committed to making Christian higher education affordable for all with generous financial aid packages available. At Bethany, you'll find stimulating academic programs, a friendly atmosphere, and opportunities to grow both in intellect and in your faith, all within the framework of a supportive Christian environment. For more information, visit us on the web at blc.edu.
Do you wish your Lutheran school offered Latin, Greek, or logic? What about German or calculus? Right now, local Lutheran schools in two different states are utilizing Wittenberg Academy to expand their course offerings. Whether it's Latin for third graders or logic for seniors in high school, Wittenberg Academy can help. For your homeschooler or for your brick-and-mortar Lutheran school, we have solutions. To find out more, visit WittenbergAcademy.org.
More topics, more guests, more Jesus. You're listening to Issues Etc. Christological.
My friends, Jesus comes only for sinners.
Historical.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by...
Sacramental.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins.
To find a Christological, historical, and sacramental church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. book of the month, the Concordia Commentary on Galatians, is they call these things critical commentaries, and that at first blush sounds like it's going to be something that criticizes the book of Galatians. Well, that's not what it means. It means that it is a scholarly work, that it deals with the original languages, and that it goes in depth into all of the things that a good commentary ought to do, the situation to which Paul was writing, how he says what he's saying, not only just breaking down the pattern of his thought, the line of his thinking, but also explaining to us the little nuances that you would never get unless you spent, well, the better part of your life as a scholar studying something like the book of Galatians, which is exactly what the author, Dr. Andrew Das, has done, and the fruit of his work is right there in the Concordia Commentary for all of us to partake in. The Concordia Commentary on Galatians, you can browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House, order one for yourself, Better yet, order one for your pastor. I'm sure that he would like to have it. 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. Ask for the Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for September, the Concordia Commentary on Galatians by Dr. Andrew Das. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest. It's Christ in the Old Testament. We're in Isaiah chapter 55. Let's talk a bit about the how. What do you have to say about the when?
Well, what's interesting in this passage is that there's a reference of time here, that you seek Yahweh while he may be found, that you call upon him while he is near. So this is a window of opportunity, if you will, an opportunity for life. Yahweh does not take pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked would be turned by this very word that he sends to bring repentance and to change the heart and to bestow faith. And so there's a period of time before the judgment. So Isaiah is sent with this word to speak it into the ears of the hearers so that they would believe, that it would sink down into their heart before the destruction of Jerusalem. And so this is chapter 55, that while he may be found, while he is near, because he's near and he can be found when the prophet is there, calling them to repentance, the work of the Holy Spirit is using this word to bring faith where there is unbelief. And so in Isaiah 49, Yahweh is speaking through the prophet, and he's saying, in a time of favor, I have answered you in a day of salvation. See, the destruction is impending, and in Jerusalem will be destroyed, and only a remnant will hold on to these words and believe. It's always going to be this small minority. And so you have this day of salvation is upon us, and now is the time of favor. So listen up. There's a window of opportunity that will be closed. Now, the Apostle Paul will take these very words from Isaiah 49, and he will use them in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and into chapter 6, where he's talking about the incarnation, so that the incarnation itself is the day of salvation. And so Paul says, if for our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And then he goes on to say, as he quotes from Isaiah, in a favorable time I have listened to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. And then Paul comments on this, and he says, behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So that Christ is the salvation that we have been waiting for. He is Yahweh's salvation in the flesh. And so this time is now. Today's the day. Because in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, in order to redeem us. And this, so this period of time is before the impending destruction. And you'll see Jesus, he'll pick up on these words from Isaiah as he speaks, especially in John's Gospel, where he uses this imagery of light. And if you remember in Isaiah chapter 2, Isaiah is using the imagery of light, calling the people of God and saying, O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of Yahweh. Well, Jesus comes on the scene in John chapter 12 and says to them, the light is among you for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest the darkness overtake you. The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he's going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. And when Jesus had said these things, he departs and he hides himself from them. Again, this is this idea of Yahweh is a God who hides himself. And so you have God hidden in the flesh. You have Jesus speaking to his people, and he speaks that word, and then he goes off and he hides. But yet he wants to be found. But you notice how Jesus is using the same kind of imagery of light that's here for a while. And once the light is gone, all you're going to have is darkness. So Isaiah will use these words and say, seek Yahweh while he may be found. And Jesus will take these words and say, now is the day of salvation. So therefore, he says that you are not going to seek me. You are not going to live. You are not going to believe, because he will be rejected just like the word of God was rejected in the days of Isaiah. And so Jesus says, you will seek me and you will not find me. I mean, extremely harsh words. When Isaiah used these words, there's this kind of this positive connotation that, hey, there's still hope. You know, seek me while I may be found and everything's going to be good. But when Jesus comes and he presses this to the extreme and he says, you will seek me, but you will not find me because it will be too late. And so when they're listening to this, the people of God are trying to figure out, what does he mean by this? Why does he say this? And he says this a handful of times in John's gospel. You see, the Israelites, they will not listen. And so this word will go out to the Goyim, the Gentiles, who do not have the word, who are actually not seeking God, but yet God will be found by them. It's starting especially in John chapter 7. This is when Jesus is speaking. He's the incarnate word speaking to those who refuse to listen. And Jesus says to them, I will be with you a little longer, and then I am going to him who sent me. You will seek me, and you will not find me. Where I'm going, you cannot come. And in John chapter 7, ironically, you have kind of this play on the words. Again, it's to seek Yahweh and live, but they're not seeking Jesus to live. Ironically, in John chapter 7, they're doing exactly the opposite. They're seeking to arrest him, and they're seeking to take his life. But his hour has not come, is what John tells us in chapter 7. And you move on to chapter 8, and again, you have these words of Jesus, where he says to those who refuse to listen, I am going away, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sin. Where I'm going, you cannot come. So again, when Isaiah says it, seek Yahweh and live. Now here Jesus says, you're going to seek me, and it's going to be too late, and you're going to die. You're not going to have life. And he clarifies this in John chapter 8, where he says it again, I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. You see, in Christ there is life. And apart from Christ, there is no life. So in Christ, there is light, but outside of Christ, all there is darkness. And so those who refuse to listen to him, who put to death the author of life, they will have no life. That window of opportunity will close. And the destruction of Jerusalem that's coming up will happen. And then this word will be taken out to the Gentiles.
About 30 seconds here.
Oh, okay. Then he speaks the same word to the disciples, and he tells them that the disciples, you, in a little while, you will not find me, you'll seek me, and you won't find me, but yet you will find me, because the world cannot see me, but you will see me, and because I live, you live. So to those who have ears to hear, he says that you will seek me in the resurrection. So he's talking about his death and his resurrection. So those who are believers have eyes to see, and they will see him, and they will continue to live in him.
Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico, host of a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. Next week on Christ in the Old Testament, we'll talk with Pastor Ketchelmeyer about the soul who sins shall die in Ezekiel chapter 18. Brian, thanks for being our guest.
Great to be here, Todd.
Monday on Issues Etc., we're going to discuss Cain and Abel, the two sons. One ends up dead, the other exiled. Pastor Tom Baker will be our guest Monday on the program. It's a call to repentance. A call to seek God while he may be found, where he may be found, how he has promised to be found. And it comes down to that very difficult to swallow, very scandalous truth that is the incarnation of Jesus Christ. There are many people who seek after a God, but the only true God can be found only in Jesus Christ, our crucified and risen Savior. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you on Monday. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Would you like to learn about the Reformation theology you hear on Issues Etc.? We'll send you a pamphlet of Luther's Small Catechism for free. It contains the biblical teachings on the Ten Commandments, the Apostles' Creed, the Lord's Prayer, baptism, the Lord's Supper, and confession and absolution. order your free copy of Luther's Small Catechism today. Just send your name and mailing address to talkback@issuesetc.org.
In a world awash with all sorts of information, opinions, and ideas, there is still a place where God's Word is the central and only focus. Messiah Lutheran Church, 801 North Madison, Lebanon, Illinois. At 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, God's people gather there to listen to Him. There you will find His words of law and gospel, and of course, our Lord's Holy Supper. Bible classes focus on the Bible and the Lutheran confessions. Come, listen, believe, and live, and check out our website at messiahlebanon.org.